then Brisnet's American Produce Records is for you. Updated in real time and available on demand at brisnet.com/APR and optimized for tablet and mobile. The APR Online is the place for instant access to a wealth of information on North American thoroughbreds dating back more than a century. The annual price, $275. Visit brisnet.com/APR and discover why American Produce Records has been the choice of bloodstock and racing professionals for generations and why a new generation is using APR Online.
Well, Majestic Perfection is the sire of 10 two-year-old winners in his first crop. Ranked second on the freshman sire list in that category. No doubt about it, he's passing on his brilliant speed. Speed that occasioned Steve Asmussen to describe him as the fastest horse I've ever seen. Seven of Majestic Perfection's winners won their very first starts. Two won their second starts, and the third won the third start. Seven others have placed, and one of the latter group is Homer Matt. He started twice now. He ran third in the Santa Anita Juvenile Stakes in his first start and his second by a half length in a maiden special at Del Mar in his second start. So we're going to be adding his name to the list pretty soon. Majestic Perfection won the Grade 1 Alfred G. Vanderbilt at Saratoga, going 6 furlongs, 108-3. Ran 6 furlongs in a track record, 107-1, posting a 117 bar, and was never beaten on a fast track. The son of the top sire, Harlan's Holiday. He stands at Mr. and Mrs. Bird and sees owns Airdrie Stud. For more, see the website at airdriestud.com. And keep in mind that the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit.
Horse Tales with Ursel Ellis, the horse capital of the world, bluegrass country. Horse Tales is all about the horses, the people, and the history of the thoroughbred industry. Now here's your host, Ursel Ellis.
Good morning, and it's a beautiful morning here at the Clocker Stand at the Thoroughbred Center out on the Paris Pike, where we always do the show. And I'm solo today. Jackie's been down all week with a sinus infection. I think that's what she's got. So far, I've dodged a bullet, so I guess it, I don't know. I hope maybe it's not a bad cold because maybe I'll get it. But anyway, she's feeling better today, but she couldn't come in. You wouldn't understand her anyway. She's talking like this, which isn't too good. What are we going to do today? Well, Bobby Littrell is going to come on the show at 11. He's an ex-jock. Rode back in the days of Bill Hartack and John Rotts and Steve Brooks and Doug Dodson and those guys. Rode all over. The whole family, the Littrell family, has all been in the horse business, and I'm going to find out for how long. But, Joe trained out here, and Boyd, another brother, and then his nephew, Kenny, rode races a little bit. Just started out. Used to get on horses for us when I was training out here. Kenny could ride. We got his own business now, Arlington Tree Service, I believe they called it. He's done a lot of work for me. They do a heck of a job. Michael Blowen, I assume, is on his way. Of course, Michael with old friends. Steve Moody, who is the author of the Kentucky Handicapper Sheet, which is published by Briss, is going to give us the winner of the Dogwood Stakes. I've got to do Jackie's announcements, such as they are. We might do a little something on Pucker Up. I was going to do it last week and just kind of ran out of time. They ran the Pucker Up Handicap last Saturday up at Arlington Park. Now, she was a foal of 1953 by Olympia. Raced for Dan Ada Farm. Dan and Ada Rice out on, which was a part of old Idlau Farm out on old Frankfort Pike. Pup Endicott was a friend of mine, was the manager out that time. Puck died too young, had a stroke. And nice guy. They stood Olympia, who was a sire Pucker Up. And Ken Hollinsworth has been writing about, of course he was writing back in the 70s and 80s about Colonel Phil Chin. I want to continue some of that. Next week, now this is an important announcement. Next week, of course, there's a UK football game, so we're going to be on show. They're going to have a pregame show because of the football, and we will be on from 8 until 10. From 8 until 10. That's next week. So, Rusty, keep that down for me to remind people about that. I'm going to write a little note to myself here. All righty. All right. Winners from the Thoroughbred Center since last week's show. Let's see how many we have since last week. 10. And we've had 31 on the month so far through the 19th. Steve Casey saddled a winner. So did Jim Rankin. Byron G. Scooter Hughes saddled a winner also. Jimmy Cargan, he had a winner at Mountaineer, and then he had another winner at Belterra. Aldolfo Marcias saddled one. Tommy Short. Scooter Hughes had another one. Hey, Scooter, you're doing all right. Farm Manager of the Year. Greg Burchill had one down at Kentucky Downs. And last night, up at Indiana Downs, Paul McAtee, one of the McAtee brothers, had a winner named Candelita Secret. Way to go, Paul. So that gives us 31 so far on the month, which is not too shabby. I think what I'll do now, I think I'll get through Jackie's announcements and get them out of the way. And I edited these down. I don't go on as much as she does, as many as she does. But let me remind you that the Secretariat Festival is today, now down at in Bourbon County. It goes from 9 till 5, and it's free admission. And it's a lot of fun, a lot of activities down there. You can collect autographs from Secretariat's Metastable team and other racing celebrities. They've got shop at their Gallery of Arts and Crafts and Gifts and official Secretariat merchandise. And you can bid on memorabilia and a silent auction down there. They've got equine demonstrations and competitions. And then you can tour Claiborne Farm and Secretariat's burial site. So that sounds like a whole lot of fun down there. So it's today down in Bourbon, in Paris. And go on down and have a good time. Masterson, let's see, it's tomorrow, Sunday the 21st. It's work day out at Masterson Park. Going out there and help them out. You know, that's where everybody likes to go out and ride. And it's a wonderful facility out there. It needs to be taken care of. And if you ride out there, we're going out there and pitch in and give them a hand. That's Masterson State Park. Dinner dance for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Farm Managers Club. Going to honor B.G. Scooter Hughes. Scooter trains out here also. And it's going to be on September the 26th. It's $6.45 per person. Table of eight for $315. And let's see, RSVP by the 18th. What the hell is the day? 20th. Well, you're too late for that, but you can still go. I'm pretty sure you can get in. And where are they having it? Okay, I'm looking. Red Mile Round Barn. Biggest type there, and I missed it anyway. And that's in honor of Scooter Hughes. A dinner dance. You don't have to dance with Scooter now. So it's that would keep me away, I'll tell you. All right. After the races are racing Racino to benefit the Bluegrass Farms charities on Friday, October the 17th at Keeneland at the Marriott Griffin Gate Resort and Spa. No, they had a spa at Marriott. So the open bar, dinner at 8. Featuring the company band, live and silent auctions, casino games, formal attire. Good Lord. Okay. RSVP at www.bgfcky.org or by enclosed reply, which I guess Jackie's got that enclosed reply at home. So that's on October the 17th at Griffin Gate. As they say, resort and spa. What is this? I just read that one. Let's see, Wednesday, October the 1st, annual RTCA golf tournament, Griffin Gate Golf Club. And you register at noon at the golf club at Griffin Gate. So you can go and participate if you are a golfer. I gave up golfing after I fell in Stoner Creek over to Stoner Creek Country Club. And much to Jackie's delight. Let's see what else we've got here. Keeneland Library Lecture Series, Paul Roberts, Director of Turnberry Consulting in London, on Tuesday, September the 23rd from 6:30 till 8:30. And Okay, that's that one anyway. Let's see. Kentucky National Hunter Jump Show. This is a biggie. This is on September the 21st. This is tomorrow at 8 p.m. It's a five-day event showcasing some of the best hunter jumper competitions in the country. So if you're into that, go see it tomorrow. Tomorrow at the Horse Park. Let's see, the Jumpstart Horse Trials on Friday, September the 26th, out at the Horse Park. Events, Jumpstart Horse Trials, 8 to 8 o'clock on Sunday, from Friday, September the 26th until 8 o'clock Sunday, September the 28th. Hunter Jumping Clock Complex, if you know where that is. It's a three-day event competition, and where the riders compete in dressage and cross-country and show jumping. You all know all about that. What else we have here? They just did this one, I think. Jackie does a much better job at this than I do. I'm going to spit out the bit, as a matter of fact. All right. That takes care of Jackie. I did your announcements for you. Screwed them up royally. But that's the way it goes. Well, last Saturday at Arlington Park, the Grade 3 Pucker-Up Stakes was won by Sister Stroll. It's a 3-year-old filly. She's by Stroll. Just a week earlier, the $200,000 Kentucky Downs Juvenile Stakes went to Cronin the Barbarian. A 2-year-old colt by Stroll, bred by E.H. Bolane III, Sister Stroll was making her fourth career start in the Pucker-Up, and it was her third straight win. Broke her maiden on June the 14th at Churchill, then took her second start at Del Mar on August the 14th. All three wins around two turns. Now, Cronin the Barbarian overcame a poor start to close from dead last in the field of 10 to take the 7-furlong Kentucky Downs Juvenile by widening two lengths. It was an impressive performance, I tell you that. He was bred and is owned by Old Memorial Stable. Stroll, of course, a grade one winner of nearly $800,000. He's by the sire of Sire's Puppet. He sired a champion two-year-old filly in his first crop. He sired 13% stakes horses, nearly 10% stakes winners from starter. Of course, he stands at Claiborne Farm and inquires to Bernie Sams and see the website at claibornefarm.com. Well, we do all our insurance in business with the Hopewell Company. We don't have to insure horses anymore. I don't insure horses anyway. Mine were never worth insuring. but it's the Hopewell Company is a great company, though. That's Joe and Ted McLean down there. And, of course, they've been in the horse business. Joe was an assistant trainer for Lucian Lauren when he was training secretariat.
Really?
Yeah. You said, really?
Huh?
Yeah. Your mic was dead. That's the reason I said that.
Well, as long as it's the mic.
Okay.
I'm going to get this mic.
I'm going to get to rest here pretty soon because Michael Blowen's here. I assume that you're Dr. Walters.
Dr. Waldridge, Brian Waldridge.
Yes, sir.
Waldridge. Oh, okay. I got the name close.
Yeah, that's pretty good for you.
Well, let me go on and finish this anyway. Talking about my hopeful insurance people down there, they're great people. I've got all my automobiles, my cars, my liability, the house.
How many times has he tried to cancel you?
They're pretty good people about that, you know. They probably should have, especially when the house got struck by lightning.
I was thinking that.
They had to come up with 20 G's.
They are fabulous.
Yeah, they really are. But, they're an independent company, and the best thing about them is they're down in Bourbon County, and if you need, they know who the good people are down there to do work on you if something goes wrong, you know. And they just top of the line. I was in a couple of silly, fender benders a couple of times.
Oh yeah, sure, they were silly to you, not to the insurance company.
Well, you know, I just called them and told them what happened, you know, and I never heard from them again. You know, they just took care of it.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, that's why they're such a great insurance company.
Absolutely,
they can put up with you and your little accidents.
Yeah, they
were house burning
down.
Yeah,
they work for us, not for the insurance companies, you know. And then, of course, they do a lot of business, and the insurance companies want to keep the business, so they do the right job. So
I'll
tell you what, when we got struck by lightning, they had an adjuster there the next day, an electrician the next day, and started working the next day.
Wow.
They had to replace all the damn wiring in the whole house. You know, I tell you what. Anyway, it's the Hopewell Company down in Paris, Kentucky. They're prepared to provide you at a no-cost, no-obligation review and a comparison for your insurance, you know. So it's 820 South Main Street down in Paris. Here's their number. They've got a Lexington number. I'll give you that, 254-2431. And I tell you what, they give you a great service, and I guarantee you. All right, the Clay Ward Agency in Indian Creek. Now, barn 45 today. Out at Keeneland. I think that's the last consignment from Indian Creek. They got some yearlings out there by Horace Greeley, who's a vastly underrated stud horse. Bellamy Road, big brand. A horse that I really like. I like Mizzenmast. Stands over Judd Montfumble. Boy, he sires a bunch of runners and is having a heck of a year as far as that goes. Kodiak Cowboy Munnings, it looks like he's doing all right. There's Eddington, I'm parading, and Tis Deja Vu. He had another two-year-old winner yesterday. Stands over at Pope McLean's Crestwood Farm. Stephen got even. So going out there, they've got a tradition of raising runners at Indian Creek. And I tell you what, if you want to insure your horses, they can take care of you, too. That's the Clay Ward Agency, and they've been insuring horses since the year I was born. I'm not going to tell you how long ago that was. But unless you give up the secret over there.
Mum's the word.
Mum's the word. Anyway, let's since that was the year that 20 grand won the Derby. Now you all figured out. All right. But of course, it's a great agency down there, and they know what they're doing. And so we'll give them a call down at in Paris, Kentucky. It's 987-1861. 1861. Just remember, that's the beginning of the Civil War. My birthday.
I was thinking that.
Anyway,
so you're getting veterans benefits?
That's two people you should do, but yeah, how about that? Unfortunately, I come from a long line of losers. My grandfather wore gray. Oh, well. All right, the Clay Ward Agency and Indian Creek. That's two names you should know about. They're both down in Paris, Kentucky. Hi.
Really?
Yeah, she's been sick all week.
Oh, boy. Hope it's not that virus that's going around.
I don't think so. I think it's just sinuses and everything. Yeah. How are
you doing? Dr. Ellis is going to do his diagnosis now and his wife's illness. Yeah. You should ask Dr. Walters here this about that sort of thing. Well, it's been a great week or so. We went down to Kentucky Downs last Wednesday and had a blast.
Well, you have a blast wherever you go, I think.
I think
were they giving away free liquor again or something?
No, we got free coffee, though. We got this great West Rock coffee. That was good. And we did a joint fundraiser with Hope for Horses.
Okay.
Or Horses and Hope, whatever, however that is. But it was
is
really,
that a
really
new
nice day.
Now?
No, this is one that was started by the First Lady, Jane Beshear.
Oh, okay.
That's for breast cancer.
Oh, and, oh okay.
And Corey Johnson showed us around. It was really, really a nice time. Rosie signed autographs for an hour. And she won a race.
No, she won a race.
Yeah.
Well, good.
Yeah, she did really well. She's doing great down there. She loves that track. And she said, boy, if I could just ride on the turf down here for my whole career, I'd like that a lot.
Is that
she
right?
loves ride down the grass. Yeah. So she was really helpful. And Patsy Cooksey was there.
Ah, Patsy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we just had a blast. And today's the Secretariat Festival. We're going over there this afternoon.
Yeah.
That'll be fun.
Yeah.
I get to talk.
That's what you do best.
You get to talk at 2:50.
Okay. 2:50. Oh, you're going to actually give a speech.
Well, it's not going to be a speech, really. I don't think it quite qualifies. I don't think a few minutes qualifies as a speech. But to be or not to be.
Oh.
I'll practice.
Does that have anything to do with has been?
Yeah, really. It's the last horse I bet on. So that's we're really looking forward to that. We're getting a lot of visitors from the Secretariat Festival who come over to the farm. And let's see, what else is new? Oh, well, Game On Dude retired, and we put in our 2 cents for that. He got him retired to old friends, so we'll see how that works out.
Okay, yeah. But I hate to see him go. You know, he's been.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
But you know, it's really nice that they're. You know, he's a, multiple grade one winner. He won the How many times he won the big cap? 3 or 4 times? And
twice, I think.
Twice?
Yeah.
Yeah, anyway, he, to a lot. But he earned over $6 million. It was a little bit more than you've earned, I think, so, even though you were born during the Civil War.
Yeah.
But you had more time to earn it, but I don't think you earned as much.
Yeah, lifetime.
That's what I tell Diane.
I should live so long.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I tell Diane. You know, we have our cemetery in the back. We have the horses buried there with signs with their accomplishments and their lifetime earnings. I told Diane, when I die, you can take my ashes and throw them out the back door. Just don't put my lifetime earnings on the sign. But anyway, so we're in contact with them, and we're offering our services. So we'll keep our fingers crossed. And I know they're going to do the right thing. What's really cool is they didn't drop him down into a grade three, or, you know, they didn't, when he was, you know, when he stopped being interested, they stopped on him, which is really, really great.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know, they could have certainly earned some more money with him, but I'm glad that they're doing that, and we'll miss.
Well, he's seven now.
Yeah,
yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, that's. Well, Dr. Aldridge.
Yeah, this is Dr. Brian Waldridge. Dr. Waldridge does all our vet work.
Mm-hmm. You filling in for our old buddy?
Yes, sir. Trying to. You can't fill that gap, you know. So that's, I'm just taking a spot.
Hey, by the way, it would have been Doug's birthday today.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we went to his birthday party this time last year.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, he was having a wonderful time.
Yeah, he did have a good time. Well, he did know how to have a good time.
Yeah.
Probably still does.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
But Dr. Walsh has been doing great work with our horses, and he's right down the street, and he's just been unbelievable for us. So
yeah.
We're very grateful, and he's smart, too.
Well, I don't know.
He went to Auburn.
I don't know.
He's an Auburn guy.
If he's going to work for nothing over there, Brian, I don't know if that's smart enough.
Well, I pay him in beer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I tell Michael I'll get paid what I'm worth, so
yeah.
It works out.
Do you live close by, Brian?
Yes, sir. I live in Georgetown. It's about 15 minutes from the farm.
Oh, yeah. Very good. Okay.
Yeah, Dr. Waldridge and I, on the way over, we're talking about West Nile.
Uh-huh.
You know, the West Nile popping up a little bit.
Really?
Yeah. Brian, you want to talk a little bit about...
Where did it pop up, Brian?
There was Western Kentucky had a case. Horse died this week or last week, I saw. But it pops up...
Two cases?
Just one that I heard of.
Yeah.
And it was an unvaccinated horse. I think a fairly young horse.
Uh-huh.
But most of the cases that you'll see are kind of late summer when they tend to come up.
Yeah.
And most of the horses that die are unvaccinated, so it's an important vaccine. And,
yeah.
And now you can get it with most of your other vaccines, so it's mm-hmm. one we recommend and one the AEP recommends all horses get.
Mm-hmm. Brian, do you practice by yourself, or who are you with?
I work some with Kentucky Equine Research. Work there most of the time, and then
Kentucky Equine Research. Yes, tell me a little bit about them.
So we're a nutrition and exercise physiology company. So we work with feed companies and help with feed companies to balance their feeds and help them develop their new feeds.
Mm-hmm.
And then we also do research around the farm, do our own research to help come up with new ideas and supplements and help to make racehorse feeds better for racehorses, like recover faster, and also pleasure horses and performance horses.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's interesting.
Yes,
sir. Yeah. How long have you been doing that?
I've been there a little over 4 years.
Yeah, 4 years?
Yes, sir.
Where are you from originally?
I'm from Bardstown, Kentucky.
Oh.
So pretty close.
Yeah, well, it's not hotbed horses down there, you know. But
no.
You're not too far from Churchill, though.
No, not too bad. My uncle had a few racehorses.
Oh, there it is. That's where the bug bit you, huh? Yeah.
Well, sort of. I used to just hot walk and pick and things. And
for your uncle?
For my uncle.
Yeah.
Fill in something.
What was your uncle's name?
His name's Joe O'Brien.
Joe O'Brien. Yeah. How long has that been?
Oh, that's been a solid 20 years ago.
Oh, yesterday.
Yesterday.
Yeah.
Yesterday, in Ursel years. His dog years, horse years, and Ursel years.
Hey, listen, wait till you see my guest that's coming on today. Bobby Littrell. He's the youngest. This has been, I tell you, last week a guy I had on, Joe Dunn, was 87. The week before that, I had Mudbug on. Mudbug was 83. But Bobby's a youngster. He's just in his middle 70s.
Part of our youth movement.
Yeah. He used to ride races with Steve Brooks and Doug Dodson and people that I remember, Kenny Church, and, you know, back when I was.
How old's Dr. Copeland?
I'm not going to tell you. Now, you're going to have to ask Bobby. But let's put it this way.
Yeah.
He's got me by a couple of years.
Yeah. I was over there the other day.
Yeah.
And,
he's fit.
Yeah.
I tell you what, he looks like he could ride races right now.
You got to get him and Randy over here on the show.
Oh, yeah.
But they're great together. Randy and Dr. Copeland are just unbelievable. Charlie Pig took me over there to see Palace Malice. He's over there.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Okay.
So we had a great time over there. And Leroy Jolly was there.
Is that right?
And I asked Leroy Jolly about this. I thought it was an apocryphal story, but he told me it was true. And what was the name of the horse that Leroy had? Your Light Light was in the Breeders' Cup. Light Light and Meadow Star? I think Meadow Star. In any case, MC Hammer had, the
rapper.
Yeah. Yeah. MC Hammer, the rapper, had...
I listen to him all the time.
I know you do. I know you do. I was going to ask you to sing a few notes, but...
Yeah, rap a little.
Yeah. So,
I've been humming an old Mills Brothers song all morning. That's about my...
That's about as close as you're going to get. Yeah, I know. Well, the Mills Brothers, they're kind of rap, early rap.
Whoops.
My mic. My friend had a rock and roll band, and he said, I came up with a new genre. It's called, and it's a mixture of country and rap. It's called crap. Anyway, so what happened was MC Hammer wanted to meet Leroy Jolly. And so they brought Leroy up to meet him, and he said, "This is Mr. Jolly. This is Leroy Jolly." And he goes, and Leroy said to him, "Why'd you want to meet me?" And he said, "I just wanted to meet a white guy named Leroy." So I thought that was a funny story. But anyway, it was great to see Dr. Copeland and everybody, and we're talking about the unfortunate and untimely death of Jeff Thornberry. And
that was
terrible. Yeah. It was just terrible. I met Jeffrey's fiancée. She was there, Beth, and he was going to be the farm manager over there.
Is that right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The Sunnyside?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. That's a wonderful place over there.
Yeah.
I sent a cop. When I got too lazy to fool my own mares, I'd send him over there. Yeah. Which was a long time ago.
We got to get Dr. Copeland over here to tell some stories.
Oh, I've had him on.
Yeah, I know you have.
Yeah, yeah, he's fun.
He likes you.
Oh, I don't know.
He told me that.
He did. Well, you look like you're shocked.
Well, I mean, I like you too, but not that much. He really likes you.
No,
he does. He really likes you a lot. And
well, I like him a lot too. He's a lot of fun to talk to.
He is. He's really smart.
We bump into each other all the time in the post office. And we can't get out of there, you know. I mean, we just get to talking, and then another vet came in, Stuart Burns. You know Stuart?
Oh no, sir.
He's another old timer. He walked in one day, and Stuart's got some problems with his eyes, and he had his daughter driving. And we stood there and talked for half an hour, and finally she had to come in and get him.
I know. That's one of the great things about the post office, like the Midway post office. You know, they talk about the post office not doing well and all that business. But I'll tell you, as a part of the social fabric of a community, they're absolutely invaluable.
Yeah.
If they could only sell beer in the post office. First of all, I think they'd make more money.
Well,
that might solve the problem. I might have come up with something here.
Be worth the cost of the stamp.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, figured they'd lose money. Most things government run does. You know.
Well, they're trying.
They're trying. Listen, I got to take a break. Talk about one of my favorite horses here, Mizzen Mass. He shot another stakes winner on September 13th at the Law when Rose Brower won the Bert Allen Stakes Bowl with 3 lengths. And that was the 8th career win for Rose Brower. Been in the money in 16 of his 19 starts. He's earned going on $200,000 now. Just 4 days earlier, Full Mass, a 2-year-old colt by Mizzen Mass, won the Group 3 Prix La Rochette at Longchamp.
Did you hear Very that? Nice.
How about that?
Very nice. You've been cheating.
Laid some hard boot on that. Won the Grade 2 Prior Stakes at Saratoga. No, wait a minute. That was another one. And only days prior to that, Stonetastic, a 3-year-old filly by Mizzen Mass, won the Grade 2 Prior Stakes at Saratoga. Boy, that was impressive. Did you see that race? That Stonetastic win that race, the Prioress?
No, I didn't see it.
But. You know, she went in 22, 44 and something, 56 and something.
Whoa.
And I thought, oh, God, she's going to die. And she widened.
Yeah.
Yeah. Went in 8 and changed. Okay.
Wow.
Well, both undefeated Full Mass and Stonetastic, who's never tasted defeat sprinting, are being pointed to a Grade 1 stakes. Also on September 13, Tamberlane, a 2-year-old colt by First Defense, Ran a game second in the Group 3 Juvenile Turf Stakes at Leopardstown in his third career start. He'd won his first two starts. Both Mizzen Mass and First Defense, of course, First Defense, the sire of the number one ranked distaffer this year, got to close hatches. Both stand at Judmont Farm. In careers to Garrett O'Rourke or Aaron Fry and see the website at judmont.com.
Sally Van Service has been in business for more than 60 years, and during that time, many of the greatest runners ever to step on a racetrack were entrusted to their care. And they've learned a lot along the way. It's pretty obvious that their vehicles and equipment are in tip-top condition. But the single most important safety factor is the ability and the experience of the person behind the wheel. They're extremely proud of their drivers at Sally Van Service. They're experienced drivers and experienced horsemen, and that's a winning combination. Think about that the next time you ship your horse, whether it's across the county or across the country. When you load your horse into a Sally van, you can depend on the fact that the person behind the wheel is one of the best in the business. The folks at Sally Van Service wouldn't have it any other way, and that's why for more than half a century, Sally Vans has been the safest way to the winner's circle.
Well, Wrigley Ready won the $200,000 More Than Ready Mile, a race named in honor of his sire, at Kentucky Downs last Saturday. Boosted that brought his lifetime earnings to over $1,600,000. He's a typical More Than Ready, tough, sound, with a world of class. That was his third stakes win of this year, and he has won Grade One stakes. He is one of nine 2014 stakes winners by More Than Ready, the sire of more than 130 lifetime stakes winners, three winners of Breeders' Cup races, and 16 Grade One winners. Among the latter group, the 2014 Grade One winner, Room Service, winning this year the Grade One Ashland Stakes at Keeneland and the Grade One American Oaks at Santa Anita and the Grade Three Here Comes the Bride Stakes. She's earned right at $571,000. Truly an international sire. More Than Ready, his sire's earners are more than $110 million worldwide. Stands at Windstar Farm, and for more information on the stallions at Windstar, get in touch with Darren Fox, Sean Tugel, or Kyle Wilson. And the number is 859-873-1717. See the website at windstarfarm.com. All righty. We got a visitor with Dr. Waldridge, Dr. Brian Waldridge here. Went to Auburn, huh?
Yes, sir. To Auburn.
Yeah. Got a new basketball coach.
We do. Every couple of years we like to do that.
Well, I think you got a good one this time.
I do, too.
Yeah. And, of course, your old one, I believe, is assistant coach at UK now.
Yes, has some assistant role there, I saw. And I guess he'd coached with Coach Cal before.
Yeah, he had. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, they're loaded. Yeah, what was the guy from Tennessee that went down there?
We got Bruce Pearl. Right?
Yeah, yes, Bruce Pearl. Yeah, he was tough at Tennessee. Yes. You know, he was hard on Kentucky and everybody else. But you'll make a good. You all have a good team here pretty soon.
I have a new arena and all the built too. So.
You got a new arena?
A couple years old, so hopefully people start going to games. It's pretty easy to get tickets to Auburn basketball games.
Yeah, well,
bring back Charles Barkley.
Yeah, the round mound of rebound, is that what they call him?
I love Charles.
Yeah, he's good on radio, isn't he?
Yeah.
And TV.
He's very good. He was a great basketball player. He played huge.
Yeah, I saw him.
He wasn't big.
You saw him in the pros.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I saw him play against UK right here in town, you know.
I used to love to watch and try and knock Kevin McHale and Larry Bird out of the middle so he can get a rebound.
Well, he and Melvin Turpin used to get after each other pretty good. You know, Melvin was from Lexington. Melvin was 7 foot. And he had a little problem with his weight too, you know.
Yeah.
He went to Cleveland about ate himself out of a job. But he was a good basketball player.
Huh? He got some nice restaurants in Cleveland.
Okay. I don't think he was too picky. But anyway. But he was a hell of a basketball player. There's no doubt about that. Played over at Henry Clay. I go way back with UK basketball. I watched the Fabulous Five play back on in the little gym, what they call it, right there on not Memorial College.
No, you were the only one.
Alumni
there.
Gym.
There you go.
Yeah.
Wonder where they came up with that name. Because the alumni paid for it, so they got named after them, right?
Well, it didn't cheap at about $4,000, you know, at that time.
So, well, look at the Kentucky women's game. I remember, a few years ago, they had this great promotion where you get season tickets for like $10.
Yeah, you wouldn't have people there to get up a crab game.
And now, you can't get near the place. It's fabulous.
I know.
Yeah.
You ever listen to that coach on the radio?
Yeah, Matthew Mitchell.
Yeah, he's good.
Yeah, he's a good coach, and they got a great team.
He's fun to listen to. Yeah. You know, he got a great sense of humor.
Yeah.
Yeah. He comes on every now and then on that show, comes on a different station, you know, in the mornings. You know.
There's different stations? Holy cow. So you learn something new every day.
Only one ESPN station. Though.
That's exactly right. Only one Ursel Ellis. We know that for sure.
Thank God. Huh?
We know that for sure.
Yeah. Well, I won't talk about the football team, though. they're awfully good.
They're looking pretty decent this year. You know, hopefully keep on doing all right.
Yeah.
Didn't they beat Kansas State?
Did beat K-State.
Well, that's why he's not around today.
No, he's at a horse sale.
Oh, yeah, they're using that excuse. Every time K-State loses, he doesn't show up the next day.
Well, it's no shame getting beat by Auburn, for God's sake.
Only if you went to K-State and you're a big rooter.
Well,
like our friend.
Well, they kind of got a losing tradition like we do here.
Yeah. 20th in the country.
What?
K-State's 20th in the country. They're
20th in the country?
Yes.
Oh, okay. What's Auburn rated?
Fifth.
Fifth?
AP.
Didn't they win everything last year? Yeah.
We won it all but the last 13 seconds of the season last year.
Oh, okay. So, year before they won it all.
Year before? 2 years ago. 2010, yeah. Right?
Well, that would have been a year before, yes. 2 years ago.
Well, dealing with Ursel time. You see, dog time, horse time, Ursel time.
Yeah, that was like breakfast.
4 years can be like 6 months when you reach a certain point in life.
I passed that point a long time ago.
Well, just some great racing today.
Yeah.
You know, Philadelphia Park. Well, Parks.
Parks.
You know, Pennsylvania Derby. I don't know when the last time, you may know this, but I don't know when the last time you had the winner of the Oaks and the winners of the Derby running on the same card again. But you got Untappable and you got California Chrome, it could be real interesting today.
I'm trying to think, but I can't think of it. You know.
Well, if we have any astute listeners out there, call Ursel and tell him, and we'll have the answer next week.
Yeah, right. Don't call me. Call him.
But I hope people come out on tours. We got some, you know, we got some great weather here today, and the horses are all doing really, really good. Thanks in large part to Tim Wilson and Carol Oates and Dr. Waldrich here. I mean, they're really, really doing well. And things are going well other ways for old friends, too. So we'll keep our fingers crossed, and I'll have some more news next week.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Another horse, I guess.
Well, I don't know. We'll just try and keep them guessing.
Game on, dude?
Keep on guessing. I'm working on them.
Oh, okay.
I'm working on the old dude. They're going to have a special day for him on the 27th at Santa Anita.
Ah.
Yeah. You know, I go after these old geldings the way other people go after stallions.
Well, that's what makes a crowd come. People,
yeah,
come,
absolutely.
You know?
Oh, are you kidding me? If we got him, it would introduce a whole new generation.
Because,
you know, we get old people here that come and see, you know, they want to come and see, you know, Sarava and some of the horses that won 10, 20
old
years
people?
Ago. Well, Gulch. Not old, you know, old is a relative term. But they like to come and see Gulch, and he's been great. But Game On Dude obviously would introduce us to a whole new group, and we're keeping our fingers crossed and doing everything that we can to make sure that they would feel confident sending them to us. So.
Well, Dr. Waldrich, we want you to come back.
Oh, I'd love to come back anytime.
Okay.
Great time coming.
Yeah. I'll give you a call.
That'd be perfect.
You got the number?
Yeah.
Okay.
Can I take the Sunday form?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
You can take the Mondays, too, if you like.
Dr. Waldrich has a horse running. He's helping with the horse running tomorrow.
Oh, you've got horses in training?
Horses I work with.
Go
watch them. We got two tomorrow, so hopefully they'll do all right.
Yeah. Who is it?
Love Me Do is and then Fair Dinkum tomorrow.
And Fair Dinkum?
Yes, sir. And they train here at the training center, so they're local horses.
Yeah, who do you work with here?
The trainer is Emma Mulvey.
Oh, okay.
And they're owned by my boss, Joe Pagan.
Yeah. I've never met Emma. Yeah, I used to do the clocking out here for 10 years. Yeah. And finally, I had to quit.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, my hearing started to go. Yes. Couldn't understand the Irish anymore. Say nothing to the Hispanics.
he was having trouble just hitting that button.
No, I'd still hit the button.
Okay, there you go. Yeah. There you go.
But if they let me wear these earphones all the time, I'd be pretty good, you know. But, well. Well, I'll come out and help after the breaks.
Cool.
Yeah. But you practice out here, huh?
Yes.
You do a lot of racetrack vet, too?
Just for those horses and do a few others here. But I take care of those and do all their routine care and then get them ready for the races.
Uh-huh.
So that's been a lot of fun to come out and watch them get ready to run and watch them go off.
Yeah, it's a good facility here.
It is. Horses, really nice barns, good airflow, and lots of really nice people out here, and the horses are happy.
That's exactly right. You know, you can train on the grass. You got, you know, two tracks. Take green horses down below, and, you know, good starting crew.
Yes, sir.
And they keep a EMS right up here with me.
Yes.
Double duty.
Double duty. A cute one, too. Where is she, by the way? I guess she's...
As soon as you mentioned her name, she left.
Okay. Holly.
Yeah, Holly's great.
Yeah, she is a nice girl. Nice girl.
All right, Ursa, we'll have some fun. Have a great time.
Yeah, I'll remind you tomorrow, next week, we're on from 8 to 10.
Okay, who's Kentucky playing?
Vandy.
Okay.
Maybe we'll win.
Here?
Yeah, here.
Oh, good. Oh, man, I love it. Those Vanderbilt fans are very generous. They come to the farm on tours on Saturday morning.
So much for football.
On the games. And we put standings up. In other words, so one day the Vandy people were there, and I think the South Carolina or Alabama people had been there the week before that. And I said, you know, those Alabama people, man, they're really generous. They donated $210, and they're leading the contest. And so the Vandy people came up with $250. It was fabulous.
Who's next after that? You're going to hit them?
I always look at the schedule, see the home games are, and I hope this is good weather.
Wait, have you heard the joke, what does a Bama fan call a Vandy fan? Boss.
This is good.
Yeah.
Now we have a vet with a good sense of humor, too.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah.
This is great. Well,
you knew Doug?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Several years. He was a good friend and always a good source of advice. It's always really good to me.
Yeah. He was good to everybody.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. He was great to us and great to the horses.
Yeah. Miss him.
He still is. I can still hear his voice yelling at me when I try and take a shortcut. I try and cheat a little.
All righty. Okay, guys.
All right, Ursula. Thanks a lot, buddy.
Thanks. Come see us.
We'll have to make an appointment.
Nice meeting you, Brian.
Nice to see you again. Thanks.
We have to go out to Rooster Brew.
Okay, yeah. We need to do that.
Yeah.
Okay.
I got a couple of halters, or I got a belt, actually, to pick up over at Quillen. So,
well, give me a call when you're going over there, and we'll go down and have a beer.
Fabulous. All right. Great, Ursula. Thanks, buddy.
All right, my friends. Okay. Well, September 14th at Belmont Park, the $125,000 John Hedinger Stakes was won by Invading Humor, a 4-year-old filly by Invisor. Invading Humor pressed the pace throughout the 9 furlongs and took the lead, won by a length over Strike Accord, a daughter of Smart Strike, and 7 others. It was a 4 consecutive win, 2 at Belmont and 2 at Saratoga. In 12 starts, she has won 6 times, all 6 in New York, and has earned $303,700. The John Hedinger was her first start in the stakes. Invisor, Horse of the Year on 2 continents and winner of over $7,804,000, including the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Classic, beating Bernardini, stands at Shadwell Farm with the stallions Albertus Maximus. He had one sale big time yesterday. Winner of the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile and of over $1,328,000. That was his first crop, too, incidentally. Grade 1 Stakes winner De Hare, multiple graded stakes winner Interdab, and Grade 1 Classic winner Jazzle. Every Shadwell stallion with foals of racing age is sired graded stakes winners. Inquiries to stallion manager Kent Barnes at 859-224-4585 and see the website shadwellfarm.com. My friend Ralph Quillen, we were just talking about Rooster Brewery. He's got the brewery downtown on Main Street in Paris, Kentucky. Of course, he's got Quillen Leather and Tack, as far as that goes, which is the nation's largest custom halter shop. They are shipping close to 20,000 halters every year. They ship them worldwide, Europe, Japan, you name it, there they go. Good old Paris, Kentucky outfit sending halters all over the country and all over the world because they make the best. No two ways about that. And it's a wonderful tack shop to visit. Just go into Paris, go to the second stoplight. Let's see, third stoplight, and look on your left, and you'll see their house there. It's fun to go in there. They're really nice people that work there, that take care of you. And they've got not only a wonderful tack shop where you can get everything. You heard Michael talking about a belt that he was got made for a client, but also stallion shanks and twitches and lead shanks and yearling halters and weaning halters and you name it, and they do it. Even pet collars. I bought a, had to buy a collar for my dog, as far as that goes, and a wonderful gift shop, as far as that goes. So it's Quilling, Leather, and Tack in Paris, Kentucky. And come on down. Let's see. They're open Thursday, Friday, and Saturday nights. They open at 5 o'clock at Rooster Brewery down there, and they've got over 100 different kind of beers there. Can you imagine 100 different kind of beers? That's a little more than I can handle. Two's my limit, and I have to space them. Well, the first four was by Cape Blanco and Uncle Mo, yearlings, and through Book One at Keeneland, they were the 1-2 ranked freshman sales sires among those with two or more offered. The five by Cape Blanco sold for an average of $234,000. 14 by Uncle Mo averaged $211,071. Now, Cape Blanco is the most accomplished son of the world's leading sire Galileo at stud in North America, where he won an Eclipse Award as a 4-year-old by in four starts, winning four Grade One stakes. That following an undefeated juvenile season that included two group wins and a classic winning 3-year-old season when he was a champion 3-year-old. Uncle Mo earned his Eclipse Award as an undefeated 2-year-old, indeed unextended, winning the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile and the Grade 1 Champagne. At 3, he again won graded stakes despite a debilitating illness, posted the best buyer speed ratings of the year at both 2 and 3. Two brilliant runners, Cape Blanco and Uncle Mo, Eclipse Award winners, both based at Ashford Stud, and they're signed good-looking foals. Call the farm for more information about the stallions over at Ashford Stud. The number out there, it's an 859 number, 873-7088, and see the website at coolmore.com. All righty. Oh, I got to take care of my friends over to Kentucky Thoroughbred Association and Toba. And that would be my friend Chauncey Morris over there. I had Chauncey on the show here a couple of weeks ago, 2 or 3 weeks ago. Nice guy. Came back up here from Australia where he'd been ahead of the, doing the same things down there that he's doing up here now. And let's see here, the Kentucky Bred Stakes winners from last week. The Sands Point Stakes, Grade 2 at Belmont Park, went to Ball Dancing. Ball Dancing, bred by Kirk Wyckoff and Debbie Wyckoff. The Newcastle Stakes, a Delaware Park winner, Unzapped. That's a Ghost Zapper. Another, I think that's his 12th graded stakes winner. Stakes winner of the year, I should say, and bred by Adina Springs and sold, incidentally, by Adina Springs. Unzapped. Let's see who else we got here. The Pucker Up Grade 3 Stakes at Arlington Park last, what was he, the champion 2-year-old filly of, what year was, he was a champion handicap mare, I think, in 1957. Do you remember Pucker Up? Well, she was the champion filly that year, and anyway, this the stakes was won by Sister Stroll, and that's a 3-year-old filly by Stroll, bred by Bo Lane. He is Bo Lane third, and he lives down in Bourbon County on Winchester Road. The Newcastle Stakes, Delaware, Unzapped. I gave you that, didn't I? Let's see, the Kentucky Downs Lady Sprint Stakes last week, Richie's Party Girl, Van Any Given Saturday, was bred by Windstar Farm. The Kentucky Downs Ladies Turf Stakes, I'm Already Sexy by Reddy's Image, bred by Equus Farm. The More Than Ready Mile Stakes, Wrigley Reddy won that, and the race named after her daddy, More Than Ready, stands over at Windstar. And Wrigley Ready, bred by Grapestock, which was a division of Vinery. At Hastings and out in Canada, the S.W. Randall Plate Handicap went to Mr. Bowling. Now, this horse has won graded stakes. He's by Izstan, and he was bred by Burton C. Jones. And Izstan is son of Gone West, who is doing very, very well, as a matter of fact. All he needs is some numbers. Hey, look him up. The Gold Cup at Assiniboia went to Beluga Bull. This is an interesting horse. He's a flashy bull, bred by Bernard Vertuga and Michelle Vertuga. And boy, this horse is the Secretary of Western Canada, let me tell you. He's run 21 times. He's won 16, 3 seconds, and a third. And the only time he was out of the money was fourth. Now, that's a horse, man, he'll buy you a lot of hamburgers, that will. He's won $333,000, so. And he's done it the hard way, 16 or 21. Wish I had a barn full of them. At Albuquerque, the casino at the Downs Handicap went to Belle of the Beach by Master Command, bred by Calvin Crean. Dead Heat in the Shakopee Juvenile Stakes up at Canterbury. Grand Full Moon was one of them, a trio filled by Malibu Moon, bred by Mercedes Stables, and Dead Heat with Native American by Indian Charlie, also bred by Mercedes Stables. So they ran an entry and they dead heated. I don't know if I've ever seen that before. That's pretty good. Let's see what they get for that. 30,000 to the winner and 7,500 to the goal. 30,000 for the winner and 7,500, 37,500. The PTHA President's Cup at Parks went to Margano by Dinah Former, bred by Mr. and Mrs. Roy Jackson. The Barrett's Debutante Stakes at Los Alamitos. Charlotte Ray won that at Sophie Alex, bred by Richard Castor, Mr. and Mrs. Richard Castor, and Frederick Weeding. The Champion Starter Series Final Stakes at Hastings went to I Don't Roll on Shaboos, whatever that means. Anyway, bred by Buck Pond Farm and Richard Templer. The Vid Stakes at Gulfstream Park. Lock T won that, bred by Mara Giddings. Let's see, the First State Dash Stakes at Delaware Park. Theme Cold Charlie won that. That's another Indian Charlie who died much too young. This one bred by Candy Lane Farm. Indian Charlie, of course, stood down at Airdrie Stud. The Small Wonder Stakes at Delaware, first time starting, 2-year-old filly won that, named Coffee Fa Marfa. She's by Hardspun, and she was bred by the Elkstone Group. The Governor's Day Stakes at Delaware Park, Storming Monarco by Monarcos, bred by John Oxley, who, of course, owned Monarcos, won the Derby with him. Open Mind Stakes, named after that top filly of a few years ago, Open Mind. Air of Distinction won that. She's by Song and a Prayer, and was bred by Bill Harrigan, Mike Pedrangelo, and Mark McEntee, one of the McEntee brothers. At the Curra, the Group 1 Morglare Stud Stakes went to Cursory Glance. That's a 2-year-old filly by Distorted Humor. Bred in Kentucky, bred and owned by Mary Fox Farmer. And that's a 17th grade winner, Group 1 Stakes winner by Distorted Humor. And yesterday at Belmont Park, the day before yesterday, the Grade 1 Lonesome Glory Handicap, going 2.5 miles over the jumps, over the fences, and the winner was demonstrative, a 7-year-old gilling by Lucy Quality, bred by Gainsborough Farm. Well, Distorted Humor Society's 17th Group 1, a Grade 1 Stakes winner last Sunday, when Cursory Glance won the Morglare Stud Stakes, a Group 1 event for 2-year-olds at the Curragh. One of the 17 is Jimmy Creed, considered by many to be the fastest son of Distorted Humor. Jimmy Creed sprinted 7 furlongs, 121, to win a Grade 1 Malibu, recorded 4 triple-digit buyers speed ratings during his career. He also won the Grade 2 Potato Grande Stakes, going 6.5 furlongs and 115, placed in 3 more stakes, 2 Grade 1. Distorted Humor is top of the sire list and is ranked among the top 10 7 times. That's why he stands for a fee of $100,000. Jimmy Creed's female family is also impressive. His dam, Hooked on the Feeling, won Grade 1 Stakes and also produced the multiple Grade 1 Stakes winner Pussycat Doll, plus the stakes-winning filly Funny Feeling. Like Jimmy Creed, Funny Feeling is sired by Distorted Humor. The second dam won stakes and is also the grand dam of the Grade 1 winner Midnight Lucky, winner of the Grade 1 Acorn. A superb individual, he sold for $900,000 as a yearling. Jimmy Creed's pedigree offers an outcross to Seattle Sioux APND Pulpit Line Mares. Booked full in his first season of stud this year. He stands at Spendthrift Farm. Go see him. It's been through Father in Heaven. An open house today and tomorrow from 1 until 3. Open house to over at Spencer Farm today and tomorrow from 1 until 3. Inquiries to Des Dempsey or Mark Lyle or Mark Toothacker at 859-294-0030 and see the website at SpencerFarm.com. All righty, let's see, where am I now? Oh, okay. Lubricin or Reborn. Two products that I happen to. In fact, I use Lubricin, a version of it they make for people. And it's, both of them developed by Dr. Steve Alday. And both are endorsed by many owners, trainers, and veterinarians. Been some top horses trained on Wise Dan. And for instance, Charlie Lopresti, he uses Reborn all the time. And trainers like Todd Pletcher and Tony Dutrell and Jerry Hollendorfer and Mike Maker, just to mention a few of them, use Lubricin. Lubricin, both of them are all natural and test-free, as a matter of fact. And to put it simply, Lubricin sustains the integrity of the joint fluid and helps reduce the need for costly and painful acid injections and so forth. And a lot of top horses use it. Well, Stop Charging Maria, who won the Alabama and the Coaching Club American Oaks this year, uses it. That's just to mention one that here recently. And the other product, Reborn, is 100% sterile, whole concentrated natural bovine colostrum. Safe, easy to use as a dietary supplement for horses of all ages. You can start using it with foals because it builds up immune system. And that's important, you know, and keep your horse healthy and fight off all kinds of illnesses and diseases and so forth. And it works. That's the best thing about both these products. Lubricin, go to the website, it's lubricin.com, and Reborn, reborne.com. Two great products there. You can pick them up over at KBC in Lexington, Horse Sense down in Versailles, or over at Old Friends right here we're on Georgetown Road, on Route 62. Well, Cowboy Cal is a multiple graded six-winning millionaire by a three-time champion Sire Giant's Causeway. He's off to a solid start at Stud. He's the sire of a Group 2 stakes winner plus three others that have placed in stakes in his first crop. And he's signed starters that routinely win at major tracks all across the nation, Saratoga, Oak Lawn, Delaware, Gulfstream, Monmouth Park, the Fairgrounds, Hawthorne, Lone Star, Presque Isle, Golden Gate, Law, wherever they're asked to run. Cowboy Cal was a tough and durable competitor himself. He won major stakes at 2, 3, and 4. Every year he raced, won 6 stakes, 5 graded, placed in 7 others, all 7 graded, including 4 grade 1. Stands a Pin Oak Stud with a young alternation. He's a multiple graded stakes winner millionaire by Distorted Humor, and his first foals are due next year. The top sire, Broken Vow, I think he's got 24 stakes horses this year, and the venerable Sky Classic. Inquiries to Clifford Berry or Nancy Stevens over at Pin Oak, 859-873-1420, and see the website at pinoakstud.com. You got me there? All righty. Well, they're running the big one today is the Cotillion, as a matter of fact. It's a $1 million pot. My next guest here is going to be Bobby Littrell. They didn't have any $1 million pots back when Bobby was riding races, but I tell you what, the big one today is they've got Untappable going in it, and I guess she's going to be the best. She's 7-5 on the morning line. And of course, she races for Winchell Thoroughbreds, Tappet Philly, bred and owned by Winchell Thoroughbreds, as a matter of fact. Let's see, Cassatt has got the rail, then Sweet Reason, Distorted Numerous Philly, House Rules, Joint Return by Include, of course, stands over, a horse that I really like, stands over at, Airdrie Stud. He's got, I think 19 horses that won a place in grade one stakes. And he's the only thing keeping that Domino Sire line alive, going right now, Include. So hope he jumps up with the top son. Most of his top runners so far have been fillies. Vera Amore, a Mindshare filly, Little Alexis, is in there. Jojo Warrior from the first crop by Pioneer the Nile. Then there's Untappable and on the outside, and she's 7-2, the aforementioned Stop Charging Maria. So it should be a great race. And of course, the Derby winner comes back today down at Parks in the what's the race down there today? I forget the name of it now. But yeah, is it Pennsylvania Derby? Yeah, that's what it is.
I don't know if it's Pennsylvania.
Yeah, that's what it is. Pennsylvania Derby Grade 2. Another $1 million pot. He got the rail, which is, he didn't have the greatest record for starting, and that's too bad that he drew the rail. You know, yeah. Just if he hesitates today, he's out of it. You go, because let's see who else is in there. That stuff. There's Candy Boy, Pocinico Bayern, who's going to run a tough race. Bob Baffert's horse, Noble Moon, a Malibu Moon, Classic Giro, Tapatour is in there. And on the outside, CJ's Awesome and Awesome Again. And they're running the Gallant Bob. I don't know if anybody remembers Gallant Bob, but I remember him real well. He was a champion sprinter. He was by Gallant Romeo. Gallant Romeo stood over at the Stallion Station over on Russell Cave Road. Son of Gallant Man, and Gallant Romeo was a flat runner, too. He was a good sire. I don't think he lasted too long. I think he died fairly young, but he sired a champion in Gallant Bob. And let's see who else is in there. That's Favorite Tales in there by Taylor the Cat, Camden Street, Bump Start, Prudhoe Bay, Pure Sensation, Flying Anna, and Goodbye Greg is on the outside in the field of seven. And the Dogwood Stakes is up at Churchill today. It's drawn a field of 10. Platinum Lady, 50 Shades of Gold, Birdmaker, Milan Kiss to Remember, Enjoy the Family, Thank You, Mary Lou, Henny Jenny, Honey's Round, and on the outside, Mizzen Miss. That's a Mizzen Mass filly. That's a horse that I really like and who's having a very good year. All righty, I'm going to take a break here and then come back. I'm going to get an old-time race rider on here with us, Bobby Littrell. So we'll be right back with you. Last Saturday, Delaware Unzapped, a 5-year-old son of Ghost Zapper, won the Newcastle Stakes, so you can add his name to the list of stakes winners, bred and sold by Dena Springs, North America's number one breeder in 10 of the past 11 years. Unzapped is the 12th 2014 stakes winner by Ghost Zapper, a list that includes two Grade 1 winners. They are Marina, winner of the Grade 1 Whitney at Saratoga, and over $1,839,000. And Judy the Beauty, winner of the Grade 1 Madison Stakes at Keenan and of over $1,112,000. In addition, his crack multiple Grade 1 winner, Better Lucky's victory in the 2014 Shine Again Stakes up at Saratoga, boosted her earnings to over $1 million. Lifetime Ghost Sapper has sired 14% stakes winners from starter. Hall of Famer Ghost Sapper is one of five winners of Breeders' Cup Classic standing at Edina Springs, Kentucky. The latest, of course, is the 2013 Breeders' Cup Classic winner, Mucho Macho Man, the son of Macho Uno. Macho Uno also stands at Edina Springs, Kentucky. For more on the Edina, on the stallions at Edina Springs, call the farm at 859-987-1798 and see the website at edinastallions.com.
Broadcasting from the Buffalo Run Therapy Studio, Buffalo Run, specializing in sports medicine and physical therapy in the Beaumont Center.
This is WLXG to Lexington, ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Well, Majestic Perfection is the sire of 10 2-year-old winners in his first crop this year, to rank second on the freshman sire list. No doubt about it, he's passing on his brilliant speed, speed that occasioned Steve Asmussen to describe him as the fastest horse I've ever seen. Seven of Majestic Perfection's winners won their very first starts. Two won their second starts, and the other a third start, and seven others have placed. One of the latter group is Homer Matt. In two starts, Homer Matt in his first start won, ran third in the Santa Anita Juvenile Stakes and came back and was second by half length in a maiden special at Del Mar, so he'll likely be adding his name to the list of winners soon. Majestic Perfection won the Grade 1 Alfred G. Vanderbilt at Saratoga, 6 furlongs, 108 and 3. Ran 6 furlongs in track record, 107 and 1, posting a 117 buyer, and was never beaten on a fast track. Son of the top sire, Harlan's Holiday, stands at Mr. and Mrs. Bird and C. Jones Airdrie Stud. For more, see the website at airdriestud.com, and remember, the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit. All righty, starting the second hour here, Horse Tales at the Clocker Stand, and got an old-timer here with me. I shouldn't say old-timer. Hell, I'm older than you, Bobby.
A couple of years.
A couple of years, yeah. Get close to that microphone. Yeah. So, So, Littrell is a name that has been around in for the horse business here for
quite some time.
Quite some time. I mean, they go back. I probably your father, your grandfather.
My father. Grandfather was in the trotters.
Oh well, it was that's the horse business.
Yeah.
In the trotters.
Yeah, but Pappy wouldn't. He didn't want us around them.
Didn't want you around.
Yeah, we sit there. We lived beside the Red Mall, you know, and we wasn't allowed there.
Lived by what now?
Beside the Big Red Mall.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, we lived by where. And old Colonel Chen had a bunch of horses over there, you know, and we'd try to sneak over there. Most all the people that the kids had lived around that track, they'd go over there and get jobs, you know. You wouldn't make no money, but.
Well, you pick up some change.
Yeah, well, not even a nickel or a dime, you know.
Wouldn't the colonel pay you?
No, we went over just for fun, really.
Did you? Yeah. Did you know him?
Yeah, I know him real well.
Did you really?
Yeah.
He's
a mean fella.
Colonel Tien?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he had a sugary way of talking.
I'm telling you, that's what it was.
Yeah.
Yeah, but all the fellas go where, you know, and we'd all get jobs. But my father, he'd come over and snatch me on out of there, you know.
Yeah. Well, he didn't have trotters there, did he?
Dad had.
No, I mean Colonel Chen.
No, he had thoroughbreds over. He had that whole outfit of birds. He had quarter pole.
And all that
he owned that.
Yeah. So a lot of people trained thoroughbreds at that time. I didn't.
Oh yeah,
at the Red Mile.
Yeah. They let you train on a center track.
Okay. Were there two tracks there at that time?
Well, there was an inner center track and an outside track, you know. In the winter, it's most guys wintered out over there.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because Keeneland was kind of closed up or something? Or?
Well, Keeneland took they had plenty of horses there, you know, in the winter. Yeah. Of course, times have changed. I don't think now they let you in there, you know, when to break the yearlings and all. I don't know.
I don't know if they do it well.
That's why they got this place over here.
Yeah, well, yeah.
From what I understand, I really don't. I've been out of it so long.
Yeah, well, the colonel was quite a character, you know. I mean,
well, if you knew him, you know what he was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just met him, Bobby, and when I left the racetrack, I went to work for the Blood Horse magazine for a while.
Yeah, it was right down the street, wasn't it?
It was on High Street at that time. Yeah.
Well, I can understand.
Yeah. Well, yeah, right. Down and around the corner, kind of. And he came in there, used to come in there, and I got to meet him. You know, he was always laying a story on you.
He laid a story on you, all right.
You know, he used to live right here.
Did he really?
That big house sitting right there. Yeah. He had horses right on this property, Colonel Chen did. He had High Time here, a stud horse. As a leading sire, 1929, I believe it was. But who else was training over there at the Red Mile at that time? You were just a kid then.
Well, right? I knowed all the guys, you know, Dr. Todd and them guys like that, you know, but people don't even, they don't know them.
Well, that's all right.
Yeah, so, but there was quite a few of them over there.
Yeah.
A lot of them.
Yeah. You were just a kid. Now, your daddy was training, and you started walking hots for him and stuff like that?
Well, me and my brother, Joe.
Okay.
Yeah we, he worked us pretty hard, you know, and he'd take us to all over the country.
Uh-huh.
You know, we didn't get too far, you know, Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and
Thistle Downs, and they had Randall Park at that time.
Sure, they had Thistle Downs, Randall Park, Cramwood, and Ascot.
And Ascot was there too.
Ascot Park there. Cramwood was a half a mile racetrack, bull ring, and
how about Ascot?
Ascot was 5/8.
5/8. Yeah. Thistle Downs was a big time track.
Well, I like Randall Park better.
Yeah,
you know,
they're right across the street.
Yeah, it's right across the street, but the track, personally, I thought the track was better. I don't know why he tore down Randall.
You should have torn down Thistle, huh?
But you know, that's the guy, Bacardo or whatever. He had He owned the 49ers.
Uh-huh. Oh, is that right?
Yeah, and he was in the building business. So he built every building around there, you know.
Yeah, okay.
So but he needed the property.
Yeah. Right, so he developed it.
Yeah.
Well, they still they call that shopping center there Randall. Yeah. Shopping center.
Yeah. It was nice. Yeah, me and old Joe, we used to walk them many a mile.
Did you?
Yeah, and go to pitch show and all that, you know.
Well, when did you start galloping horses? How old were you?
Probably about 12, 13.
Okay.
I was at Randall, and Dad would put me on one of them old horses, you know, and he'd take me out there. And of course, naturally, he went around the first time or two with me, you know, to get my seat. He'd take me out there and he'd say, now, take that old horse around there, and if you can't hold him, just drop him down on the rail.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and a lot of them run off.
Yeah. What'd you weigh that time?
Probably about 80 pounds.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I stayed that weight, actually for about 4 or 5 years, even when I started riding.
Mm-hmm.
Because we had to weigh 96 to 100 pounds. Mm-hmm. Now, it's different now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. See? Not many can make that.
And all, well, the exercise riders in them days had to weigh about 108 or 10 pounds or they didn't get on no horses.
Yeah. Gosh, you're up, 140,
150
pounds.
Oh, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
But that's what it was.
But you don't weigh much more than that now, do you?
Oh, I done bloomed up.
Bloomed up.
Yeah. I ain't no problem about it. It's 161.
And oh, do you?
I've been here. I was up there in Michigan, and I come down here. I weighed 145 pounds, and Jeanette put weight on me.
Yeah, okay. Food's down good. Yeah. Yeah. Well, so you started galloping horses, and did you just gallop for your dad? Or?
No, you know, here's the thing about it. You know, when we was coming up, you know, naturally a lot of us had to get out of school in order to get to ride at 16 because, you know, you grew.
Yeah.
But we'd had to break yearlings. Mm-hmm. And you'd break yearlings for 2 or 3 years before they'd even let you.
Now, were you breaking yearlings for your dad or other people?
For Adler Farm.
Okay, where was that now?
I really don't know. And Dan Mifkett.
If what?
Dan Mifkett.
Oh, Dan Mifkett.
Yeah.
Yeah. I knew Dan. Well, yeah. Real estate man.
Well, I don't know about real estate, but he had a bunch of horses.
Yeah, I know he did. He had a farm. He had all kinds of farms.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He sure did. I was on one of them for, I guess I was about 13. Mm-hmm. And they put me out there and forgot me.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, we were working for Mr. Mifkett.
Yeah. Now, he had a farm. You went out to old Russell Cave Road, and where it is, the house is still there. Just when you go over the interstate, off on the left there was Dan Mitkin's place. Right across from Shandon Farm there, Harry Scott's place.
Well, sir, everything's built up around here since
well,
I was.
Well, they haven't built that up.
Yeah, well, I've been out of here for 43 years.
Yeah. Well, I'll get to that.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got a long way to go yet.
Well, I don't know what's
yeah. Yeah, but that's so you were breaking yearlings for Dan Mifkett.
Dan Mifkett and also Idlehour Farm.
Idlehour? Okay, Miss Julian G. Rogers.
And Alan T. Simmons.
Oh, Alan Simmons.
Yeah. He was a big man in Akron.
Yeah.
He had a big radio.
Had those stud horses, Alaturn and Alan, you know.
He had a lot of nice horses, had a lot of everything, but like I said, he was in the television business.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now, his place was at the old Frankfurt Pike.
Something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I believe it was. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's out there close to what's Darby Dan now and those places, you know.
Yeah.
Let me take a break and I'll get right back to you. Got to do some commercials here.
Well, can I go get me some water? I got some out there.
You want a Coke?
No, I don't.
Well,
that's okay.
Wait a minute.
I'm all right. I got it in the car.
Oh, well. Yeah, I'm just going to be gone a minute here now.
Okay, well, I'll sit right here then.
All right. Well, last Saturday at Arlington Park, the Grade 3 Pucker-Up Stakes was won by Sister Stroll, a 3-year-old Philippa Stroll. Just a week earlier, the $200,000 Kentucky Downs Juvenile Stakes went to Cronin the Barbarian, a 2-year-old colt by Stroll. Bred by E.H. Bolane III, Sister Stroll was making just her fourth career start in the Pucker-Up. It was her third straight win. Broke her maiden on June 14 at Churchill, then took her second start at Del Mar on August 14. All three wins around two turns. Cronin the Barbarian overcame a poor start to close from dead last in the field of 10 to take the 7-furlong Kentucky Downs Juvenile by widening two lengths. He was bred and is owned by Old Memorial Stable. Stroll, a grade one winner of nearly $800,000 by Sire of Sire's Puppet, and sired the champion to fill in his first crop. He's a sire 13% stakes horses and nearly 10% stakes winners from starters. Stands at Claiborne Farm. Inquiries to Bernie Sams and see the website at claibornfarm.com. Well, I want to talk about my friends in the real estate business. That's Hill and Reagan Parker. Here's their website. It's lexhorsefarms.com. And they've been in the business for over 12 years. And they're wonderful people, people who each can trust, people who have pleasure to do business with. They've got an outstanding variety of locations, sizes, and prices of farms. There's Fayette, Bourbon, Scout, Jessamine County, Woodford County, Clark County, just anywhere you want it. They can help you find just the perfect farm for you. They've got them in all price ranges, locations, and sizes. And I'll tell you what, they'll do a great job for you. And they work real hard for you. I know they sell quite a bit of property around here. And they work real hard to get it done. And they're people that you can trust. They've got wonderful spots. Go to that website. Got a place over on the Arlington that's a garden, a wonderful place. You know, that's out on the west end out there. They've got a place close to over on Russell Cave, close to the horse park out there. There's a place over there close to where you live, over in Bourbon County. So go see them, you know. There's a place over on Russell Cave. It's a restored 1803 federal house over in Bourbon County. Gorgeous place. You got a swimming pool and five paddocks and open fields, two barns, 14 stalls. It's a wonderful place. Go see that. And here's that number again. It's 859-608-8039. That's Hill and Reagan Parker. And LexHorseFarms.com is their website. Well, they have a proven record of raising runners at Pope McLean's Crestwood Farm. They've raised over 250 stakes horses there, including three distaffers that earned over $2 million each. They raised the 2014 Delaware Oaks winner, that's Fortune Pearl, and they sold the 2014 stakes winner Golden Sense. Of course, he's earned over, well, right at $2.5 million now. So go to Barn 1 at Keenan tomorrow to see the consignment from Pope McLean Crestwood Farm agent. And while there, ask about the many services available at Crestwood Farm. It's a great place to board your horses. They have an unsurpassed record for customer service. Majority of their clients have been with them for years and years, and for good reason. They treat their customers like family. So go to the website and check them out, and they can furnish the best of references. And I don't know if I'm the best of references or no, but I'll tell you what, I have no hesitation in giving them one if they'll take it from me. They're great people. Pope McLean Crestwood Farm, 859-252-3770, and see the website at crestwoodfarm.com. All righty, I'm talking to Bobby Littrell here. He's been around a long time, around the horse business, and started, his whole family's been around as far as that goes. And we've got him up where he's breaking yearlings now, but I want to get to him. He started riding races. How old were you when you started riding races, Bobby?
16.
16. Where'd you start?
I'm old. Randall Park, I rode my first race there.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
How'd you do?
I finished fourth.
Did you? Well, that's not too bad, you know. Didn't fall off. And
almost.
Almost. Did you ride it for your father?
No, my uncle, my brother Mo Elmer.
Elmer, yeah, okay.
He's passed away now.
Yeah, I'd met Elmer.
Yeah, he gave me my first mount, and Daddy didn't kind of. Daddy said it wasn't ready.
Yeah.
Yeah, which he was really right, you know.
Mm-hmm.
His father's always right.
Yeah.
But, and.
Well, you got to start somewhere.
Yeah, well, that's.
Yeah. Do you remember your first winter?
Yes, sir. At Echo Rock and at Keeneland.
Oh, okay. Echo Rock at Keeneland. Yeah. What year was that now?
That was 55.
55?
Yeah, Mr. T.C. Quisenberry owned that horse.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
I remember him.
He.
Let me have that program over here.
That's naming one of them.
Huh?
That was.
Yeah. Let me see. I'm find you in here somewhere.
That was.
Oh, this is Kenny's here.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll talk about Kenny in a minute. Let me see that one.
He's on the first page.
First page?
Mm-hmm.
First race. Right? Yeah. Okay. You rode a horse. You rode that. Right. You rode that for G. Buckhart.
Mr. Buckhart, yes, sir.
Yeah. 2-year-old filly named Dorothea. And who were you riding with at that time?
I was riding with quite a. We had.
Well, let me name them. You can tell me a little something about them. W.D. Lucas.
Well, he was around for, I think, Herb Stevens.
Yeah, yeah.
And he rode, he's a pretty good race rider. He was leading rider there at River Downs for years and years and years. And he come in at Keeneland and won a lot of races there.
Yeah. He his wife used to work here at the Thoroughbred Center. Mm-hmm. And I think in his old, when he stopped riding, had some vans. He was hauling horses and stuff.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, he got in. I think he might have had something to do with the training center out here too.
Well, he was out here all the time. Well, his wife was out here working. Yeah, she was a bookkeeper. Yeah, mm-hmm. Nice lady.
Yeah, he was. He was a fine fella too.
Was it Johnny Heckman?
He was a heck of a race rider.
Yeah.
Yeah, he. I imagine he was leading rider at Keeneland. Every time I come up here, just about.
Uh-huh.
He was a good race rider. Yes. I think he was out of Louisiana.
He had a reputation for riding 2-year-olds, didn't he?
Yeah, he was a good 2-year-old rider. But Jimmy Nichols was the best.
Oh, yeah, no. He was an old cowboy.
Yeah.
He used to ride bulls.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Most every one of them boys got on that was a recreation, you know.
Yeah.
There wasn't too much to do. So if a rodeo come in there, they'd go over and sometime get on one or two.
Yeah. Did you?
I tried.
Did you?
Yeah. But, you know, it was no good. But it was no good. My brother Joe, he's got a boy named after me, Robert Allen. They call him Sticks. He's a hell of a bull rider.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah. But, He can ride a bull.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was going to some school out west warned him.
Yeah, okay.
And Joe said that he'll send him out there to go to school, but he's not going to send him out there to ride no bulls. You know, he didn't want to lose his money.
Right.
Yeah.
But Joe wasn't a bull rider, but he's a pretty good bull slinger, isn't he?
Daddy never taught him too much of anything, but, you know, walk horse, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And he went to send him to college, or Ma did, one of them do, I don't know, but he went to college. He got out of college, you know, and he needed a couple of extra dollars to you need the money to get a job. So he went over Mr. Ward, you know, John Ward.
Yeah.
And asked him for a job, and John Ward says, no, he says, ain't hard. So John started to walk away, and he asked him, says, by the way, what's your name, and I'll give you a call. He says, my name's Littrell. He said, "You coming to work in the morning?"
Okay.
Now Joe didn't know nothing.
Didn't, right.
No, but he could jog a horse. You know, he jog a horse. You jogging horses out there? Now I didn't see it for sure, you know, but I'd heard he jogging horses out there all winter, like they do breaking them horses.
Yeah.
And John Ward had a stake horse there. Mm-hmm. You know, so he won't go on the track. Put Joe on your horse, run off 3 miles.
Oh.
And he said, of all the little I get, I had to get to what I couldn't ride. But you know.
Yeah.
But he wound up being a heck of a exercise boy. And he's a pretty good trainer, too.
Yeah, Joe did all right. Yeah, he sure did. Yeah. Let's see. Here's J.R. Adams.
John Adams, that was the old man's son,
mm-hmm.
John Adams. He was a good race rider. Yeah. I don't know what become of Johnny.
Here's an old Calumet rider, Doug Dotson. He was on one for Strawda Griffin.
Well, Doug Dotson was a good rider, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And old Strawda rode me. He rode me, also rode me.
Did he?
Yeah.
Nice fellow, wasn't
he? Yeah. He was east down that barn 16, I think it was.
Was it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, they go down the track kitchen, him and Doug Davis and Tommy Stevens and two or three other them trainers up there, you know, stayed there all winter, and they get up there and they ought to hear the mess that they
I know.
Yeah.
A lot of fun. Of course, they've changed that kitchen around a lot, and that's real fancy now.
Well, I think they changed it for the worse.
Okay. Doug Dotson.
Yeah, Doug Dotson was a good rider. All them riders that rode there, that come in there at Kingland, they could all ride, but they was all, you know, they was all mean riders, you know, on the track.
Yeah.
They didn't take no stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You had to be careful out there.
There wasn't no such thing coming through on the rail on them. And there wasn't no such thing to go around them either.
You see that a lot now, don't you? Horses getting through on a rail.
Well, yeah, you can drive a truck through them.
Yeah.
You know? if I was riding anybody out there, I'd ride Calvin Burrell.
Yeah.
You know, because he's going to stay right there on that rail and just.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I know. Yeah.
I just don't know.
Yeah, yeah. I told Jackie, you know. My wife, you know, someone would come through on a rail, and I said, "God, what did they let him through for?" You know, and I said, "That'd been our Carroll. He'd put him in the infield,
right in a flat minute." Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Oh well, here's a rider that I remember real well, R.L. Baird. I got to know him down at the fairgrounds. He was riding down there. He was. He might have been a second leading rider that meet. Usually he was the leading rider. But a rider named, you probably know this one too, Eldon Nelson.
Eldon E. Nelson, sure do. And I know him. Bobby Beard rode for Tennessee Wright.
Yeah, well, that'll get you in the winner's circle.
Yeah, all the time. If you got that, if you got in that outfit, and you was all right.
Yeah,
And Mr. Bishop there, he Oldie Cullen, all them guys over there.
Ooh.
Was a mess.
Yeah, that was T.A. Grissom's outfit. Nice. And he owned a farm right up the road here.
Big Cadillac business.
Yeah, Detroit.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Sure did.
Yeah. I knew him real well, as a matter of fact. Here's Kenny Church.
He's a good race rider, too, you know.
Yeah,
anything that come out of when the winter come, even in the spring, you got the cream of the crop of the riders.
Yeah, Steve Brooks, he used to ride for Jack Hodges a lot. That's who I was with when I was on the racetrack with Jack Hodges. Yeah. Do you remember Jack?
Yes, I know him real well. Yeah. But you know, like I said, I know him to say,
yeah,
hello or whatever, yeah. And you know, sit down with him and talk to him. Yeah.
Yeah.
I never rode for him.
Big man.
Yeah.
Yeah, he must have been 6'4".
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, big man. You started out working on the start gate when he was back in the, I guess, late 20s and 30s, you know. Then he went to training and ended up training for Dixieana.
That was a good outfit there.
Yeah, that's where I was. Not that I moved him up any, but.
No, well.
Well, here you are. And you were
I was just a filler in her.
It's a filler.
Yeah.
Filler inner, huh?
Yeah.
Well, what's the best horse you ever rode?
Well, I ever rode, I know a lot of good horses I rode it broke down and stuff like that, you know, but I guess Mr. Bob W. was probably there.
Okay.
Yeah, he was.
Who had him?
My father had him.
Okay.
He finished a second in Louisiana Derby and second in the Arkansas Derby. And I thought maybe that he'd probably, well, I thought everybody, Dad did too, thought we had a pretty good shot in the Kentucky Derby. And he run him in the Bluegrass Stakes here, and he popped a splint.
Uh-huh. Is that right?
Yeah, so yeah. That ruined his chances of being a nice horse.
Yeah.
That's when I think Candy Spots was running in.
Okay.
And
Ellsworth's
not horse. Not Candy Spots, but the horse had come from Silky Sullivan.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I was hoping
you'd have beat him.
No, he dropped back as far as he did.
Well, he didn't run very good in the dirty.
No.
You know?
But that was a pretty nice horse. But I was on a lot of good horses, but, you know, I can't really recall most of them names.
Let me take another break here. Got to pay the bills.
There you go.
Mizzen Mast sired another Stakes win on September 13th at Law when Rosebriar won the Burt Allen Stakes by over 3 lengths. That was the 8th career win for Rosebriar. Been in the money in 16 of his 19 starts, and he's earned $189,556. Just 4 days earlier, Full Mast, 2-year-old Copa, Mizzen Mast won the Group 3 Prix La Rochette at Longchamp. And only days prior to that, Stonetastic, a 3-year-old filly by Mizzen Mast, won the Grade 2 Priory Stakes at Saratoga. Both undefeated Full Mast and Stonetastic, who's never tasted defeat sprinting, are being pointed toward Grade 1 Stakes. Also on September 13, Tom Berlane, a 2-year-old Copa First Defense, ran a game second in the Group 3 Juvenile Turf Stakes at Leopardstown. That was just his third start after he'd won his first two. Both Mizzen Mast and First Defense. Now, First Defense is sire of the number one ranked distaff for 2014. That's Close Hatches. Both of them stand at Judmont Farm. Inquiries to Garrett Walker and Fry, and see the website at judmont.com. Well, congratulations to Clear Sky Farms for breeding and selling the $2,200,000 cold high price yearling out of Keeneland. Clear Sky Farms is a valued client of McCauley Brothers. Congratulations also to the breeders of the 5 runners that won stakes this past weekend that were also raised on products from McCauley Brothers. Unzipped, one of the Newcastle Handicap at Delaware, was bred by Adina Springs. The More Than Ready Stakes at Kentucky Downs winner, Regally Ready, was bred by Grapestock. That's the division of Vinery. Regally Ready won the grade one stake and has earned more than $1,600,000. Richie's Party Girl, winner of the Kentucky Downs Lady Sprint, was bred by Windstar Farm. Mr. Bowling, a graded stakes winner, won the South Window Plate up in Canada. He was bred by Burton C. Jones. The Gold Cup, also in Canada, went to Beluga Bull, bred by Bernard Michelle Vertuga. And through last weekend, horses raised on McCauley products have won 150 stakes this year. 78 of them graded stakes, 15 grade one. The record speaks for itself at the races and at the sales. Call Mike Warren or David Longmire at 859-873-3333. See the website at McCauleyBros.com or stop by the office at 111 Broadway in Versailles. McCauley Brothers, where it is all about the horse. Daily Racing Form Sunday editions on your newsstands as we speak, so you can pick that up, of course, out of Keeneland or wherever they sell it. All around town, down in Paris, it's at the BP station on Main Street. That's where you can buy one down there. Got some nice articles in there, one by Jay Hoveday, who I consider one of the best sports writers around, racing sports writers around, a writer's period. The guy can just flat write. There's Steve Anderson's got a column in there, and Marty McGee from around Kentucky. There's coverage of the Keeneland sales with Joe Nevels. And, of course, you've got past performances from Churchill Downs, Belmont Park, Arlington, Monmouth, Gulfstream, Belterra, better known as River Downs, and us old-timers, Woodbine, Louisiana Downs, and Thistle Downs. So you can get all those past performances in the Daily Racing Form, America's Racing Bible.
And, of course, go to DRF.com/breeding today for the breeding editions. And you get articles in there by John Sparkman and people like that that can really write. So it's a daily racing form. Racing's Bible. Well, I'm talking to Bobby Littrell, and he rode with some of the best ones. You knew Hardtack, didn't you?
Real well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was he hard to get along with, as everybody said he was?
Well, yeah, he was a little cocky, but you know what the heck, you know.
How was he in a jock from?
He didn't speak to nobody.
Didn't he really?
No. You know, he come up our Thistle Downs to ride the Derby, Derby up there. And,
yeah.
He come in there and he going to leave, you know, after 1 o'clock, he couldn't leave that, leave the
jock room.
Jock room.
Yeah.
So he wanted to get a haircut. So he, yeah, the barber come in there, you know, and which we didn't kind of like, you know.
Yeah.
Cut his hair, and you give him $5. Now, $5 was a lot of money in them days.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But just to trim his hair, you know, he said, don't take off, you know. And the guys just shook his head, man, I ain't never going to cut this man's hair no more. Yeah. He didn't get nothing. Yeah.
You know, he wasn't a pretty rider.
No, he bounced all the way over.
I know he did.
But I'll tell you one thing, he bounced in all the 5-6 Derby. Now.
Yes, he did.
Yeah. 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 He, I think he rode for K-Met Farm, yeah. He he broke his leg and won't ride the Derby with a broken leg.
Yeah, I remember he was injured, yeah.
I was at Arn League. No, he went on Arn League. Gallant Talk, Gallant Man.
I did. He went on Arn League.
Yeah, but he
you beat Gallant Man. That was the one guy, man, Shoemaker stood up on. Did you ever ride against Shoemaker?
Oh, yeah. I rode against Shoemaker. I rode against Eddie Alcara, all of them.
Did you know Eddie?
I knew him to say hi. You know what? You know, Eddie was a nice fella.
Yeah, was he?
Yeah. I was a bug rider. You know, I mean, you know, they don't socialize, you know.
Well, that's all right.
But they'd come in there and talk to you. Like I said, Johnny Adams, he kind of talked to me all the time, you know. You know, we, of course, that's why I was beside him, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And a few others.
Yeah. What about John Longman?
John Longman, he was a nice fellow, too. Yeah. They come into Kingland.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, oh, yeah. I think he came down to ride your horse, didn't he? He rode, who did he ride for? I forget who he rode for Dixiana in the Derby. Yeah. You might have been on Spy Song, run second to Assault.
I don't know, but a couple of them, Johnny Long and Johnny Adams, they all rode long range, you know, sitting back there. And,
yeah.
And
but, so did Shoemaker.
Yeah.
We were talking about R.L. Baird and the way he rode. Yeah. He jack up his stirrup shorter than anybody I've ever seen.
Don't know how he kept falling off, but you know, like I said, when a man said go, them horses were in front.
Yeah.
And he was all over the racetrack.
Yeah.
And if you was behind him, you didn't, when you made your move, you better go on and do it.
Yeah.
Because he herded you. He herded you all over the racetrack.
Is that right?
You know, there wasn't no straightness with him.
Yeah.
You know? He could flat get it. Yeah.
How long did you ride?
Well, actually, probably off and on for 10 years.
Did you?
Yeah. I was on a contract with my father, you know, and he get mad at me or something, set me down.
You know. How long did the contract last?
Well, till I bought it. I had to buy my own contract in Louisiana about it.
Is that right?
Yeah, he left me up there at Churchill, worst mistake he ever made.
Yeah.
You know, and he let me ride out the meet.
Yeah.
And he said if I could find me a way to Louisiana, he would let me stay there, you know?
Yeah.
So Donnie Brumfield.
Oh, yeah, another good rider. Down Nickersville.
Yeah, I asked Donnie if he was going to New Orleans, and he said he'd give me a ride up there.
Were you down there in 56?
55. 56, 57.
Well, I was down there in 56.
He was riding for Henry Forrest.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Big stable.
Big, yeah. There was all, well, that's a lot of big, there was a lot of big stables.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So he took me down there, and old Donnie now, he could flat get it too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So you rode for 10 years, and then you did you leave the horse business then? What'd you do when you left?
Well, I went to Vietnam.
Oh, okay.
I joined.
Did you?
Yeah. I thought, you know, I was having problems, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I just left up there, and I stood a couple of tours over there. And
Army?
Yes.
Yeah.
And then when I got out, I was kind of, and they sent me to Detroit. I had an aunt up there, you know.
Yeah.
And they had the VA up there, and I stayed there, and then they let me out if I could stay with her.
Yeah.
But they wouldn't let me come home.
Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah. So until I got rehabilitated or whatever you want to call it, you know, from the service.
Yeah.
And I'd got me a job up there shipping automobiles for 10 years. And then I had a bar.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
In Detroit?
Yeah. I had got married to a lady that had one.
Okay.
And she dropped dead in it.
Ooh, my God.
And I got out of that business real quick, you know.
Did you sell it?
No, yeah. I didn't sell it. The kids, her kids got it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I went into the marina business.
Marina?
Yeah, boats, putting in boats.
Oh, yeah.
And I had a couple of bait stores.
Okay.
But, you know, that business kind of went on a sour side.
Where were you when you had the bait stores?
Oh, I was
in Michigan?
Yes, sir.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, what brought you back to Kentucky? Home folks.
Everybody would ask me to come back, you know.
Yeah.
And I wanted to come back.
Well, you had family here.
Well, my daughter, she's in Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
And my ex-wife, I should say, I wanted to come back to her. She took me back after 43 years.
Is that right? Yeah. Well, that's sweet.
But, I come back. I was going back in the horse business. You know, I looked around all last year, and everybody was saying, well, wait and, you know, get used to what's going on.
Yeah.
Joe wants me in it, and I want to get in it, but I'm looking at some babies out there, you know, and... Yeah. That's a long process.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
And you'd be better off, which we'll probably do,
claim
a horse or
two. Yeah, well, you can get some action right away.
Well, yeah, and that's the way to do it. If one of them guys drops one of them horses where they don't belong.
Yeah.
Such as Mr. Ramsey, and they, and I'm not talking about Mr. Ramsey.
Oh,
but
you can't say anything bad about Ken Ramsey.
No, a matter of fact, Joe's son,
Kenny
is married to.
Yeah, I know.
Kenny
could ride. Kenny, he used to get on horses for me out here when Jackie and I were training out here. And, you know, he was just a kid at that time. That, as I tease him, that was about 75 pounds ago.
Well, yeah, he's a big boy. You know, there was a lot of us. Fellas that rode at Uncle Johnny and
Billy. Oh, he's a big man now. Yeah, you know.
But
He's got a good business at Arlington Tree Service. Yeah, he does a lot of work for us.
Yeah, yeah, but you know, if my brother Joe would have let Kenny ride, break his maiden and everything, he would have been better than any one of us, you know, because he could flat get it.
Yeah, he could ride.
But Joe wanted him, you know. Joe didn't want nobody on the racetrack, none of his sons.
Yeah.
You know, education comes first.
Yeah. Well, good for Joe, in a way.
Kenny's
done extremely well.
Oh, yeah. Like you say, that Arlington Tree Service?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he's doing good.
Yeah. We've called on him 5-6 times.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, since, you know, yeah. He comes, he always comes personally too, you know, and he's right there. Got all that expensive equipment. Lord have mercy.
Like you say, if you need trees trimmed, get him.
Yeah. Well, I got to wrap it up.
Well, okay. I sure appreciate it.
It's fun talking to you.
Well, I hope I didn't say nothing wasn't wrong, right, or whatever.
Well, listen, the best thing about being this old, we can talk about old times and nobody knows whether we're right or wrong.
Well, the thing about it, I wish we could go back a whole lot further, you know, what we did.
Well,
but
we went back pretty well.
You was Hodges, was you with?
Jack Hodges.
Yeah, there at Fairgrounds.
Oh, yeah, I was at the Fairgrounds with Jack.
Yeah.
At Rubbin' Horses Farm. Yeah. Had a nice mare named Blue Hawaii. I don't know if you remember or not. She could run. She ended up placing in a couple of stakes up in Chicago that summer.
You know, speaking of that, you know, old Merle Shera. You know Merle Shera. He's got a bunch of horses. I think he's probably the best trainer around. You know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He was down there at.
That time
on the rail down there, you know, I'd walk by there, and we'd become friends, and he asked me where I was going to be. I said, "Well, I'd probably be in Cleveland." So he flew up there, and Daddy gave him a job.
Yeah.
And he.
Well, Bobby, I've got to wrap it up here. Okay. I got somebody else I'm going to put on.
All right.
Now, appreciate you coming by, my friend. Come back and see us.
I'll stop by.
All right. All righty. Well, let me take a break here, and I'm going to get Steve Moody on. He'll give you a winner.
Give me one. Yeah, here's my pad.
Okay. Well, September 14th at Belmont Park, the $125,000 John Hettinger Stakes was won by Invading Humor, 4-year-old filly by Invisor. Invading Humor pressed the pace throughout the 9 furlongs and took the lead to win by a length over Strike Accord, a daughter of Smart Strike, and 7 others. It was a 4 consecutive win, 2 at Belmont and 2 at Saratoga. In 12 starts, she's won 6 races, all 6 in New York, and has earned over $303,000. The John Hettinger was her first start in a stakes race. Invisor, horse of the year on 2 continents, win of over $7,804,000, including the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Classic, beating Bernardini, stands at Chadwell Farm with the stallions Albertus Maximus, winner of the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile and of over $1,328,000. He had a yearling bring $90,000 yesterday. Grade 1 Stakes winner De Hare, multiple graded stakes winner Interdab, and Grade 1 Classic winner Jazzle. Every Shadwell stallion with foals of racing age aside graded stakes winners. Inquiries to stallion manager Ken Barnes at 859-224-4585 and see the website at shadwellfarm.com.
One unlimited access of bloodstock and racing professionals for generations. Why a new generation is using APR Online.
Well, Sunday at the Cora, the Grade 1 Moorglare Stud Stakes was won by Cursory Glance, a 2-year-old filly by Distorted Humor. Cursory Glance is the 17th Grade 1 of Group 1 winner by Distorted Humor. And that list includes the winners of all 3 of America's Triple Crown races. Cursory Glance was bred and is owned by Mary Fox Stud. She has 3 wins and a second from 4 starts, among them a win in the Group 3 Albany Stakes at Ascot. Distorted Humor has topped the North American sire list. He's ranked among the top 10 7 times. And he stands at Windstar Farm, home also the number 1 ranked sire on the freshman sire list, number 1 ranked sire of 2-year-olds, and number 1 ranked sire on the second crop sire list this year. For more on the Windstar Stallions, get in touch with Darren Fox, Sean Tugel, or Kyle Wilson at 859-873-1717. See the website at windstarfarm.com. All righty. I've got Steve Moody with me now. He is the author of the Kentucky Handicapper Sheet, and they're running the Dogwood Stakes down at Churchill Downs today. That sheet, incidentally, is published by our friends over at Bloodstock Research Information Services. And, Steve, how are you this morning?
Doing all right, Ursula.
Well, I'm glad to hear it. Who's going to win the Dogwood?
Well, we've got a field of, 8 now. Got a couple scratches. Fast and Firm at Churchill, and the Scratching the 5.
Scratch the 5.
Kiss to Remember, and the 9, Honey's Ryan. So that leaves 8 3-year-old fillies going in the Dogwood. You know, it's kind of tough to look past 50 Shades of Gold. She's two for two at Churchill. Both those wins in stakes races. Came out of those races and turned in a couple of good efforts in a couple of grade ones in New York. And back in here today, she's worked well. A couple of recent bullet works. Like I said, unbeaten over the Churchill Oval. Got to give her the slight edge in here. The four horse Milam finished just behind 50 Shades of Gold in the Eight Bells back, of course, during Derby Week, and so she'll try to turn the tables today, and she's got a chance in there. She's a Street Sense filly from Eddie Keneally's barn. Corey Lannery has the mount, 7-2 on the morning line. I think she's worth a look. And then the seven, Thank You Mary Lou, adds blinkers today. Figures to be a little bit closer to the pace. Mike Maker trains her. Miguel Mena has the mount. But those three look like the ones to beat to me. We're going to go 2-4-7 in the Dogwood.
2-4-7 in the Dogwood. Okay. Listen, next week we're on from 8 to 10 because of the pregame show for Kentucky and Vanderbilt. And so I just thought I would warn you. 8 to 10 next week, Steve.
All right, Ursula.
All right, my friend. Well, how's California Chrome going to run today?
Well, I haven't really looked at the race from what I could gather. Sounded like there wasn't a whole lot in there, so I would assume that if he, you know, comes back to anything close to the way he was on the Derby trail, he'd be very tough. But haven't really looked at who he's facing. Although I've heard it's not an outstanding field.
Yeah, you're probably right about that. Okay. Well, I imagine he's ready for $1 million pot. You'd get him ready.
You would hope so.
I would hope so. I think I would be trying anyway. Right. My man here, Bobby Littrell, says they didn't ship him this far for nothing. He's probably right. All right, Steve, thank you. You can buy that handicapper sheet wherever they sell at Daily Racing Farm. Pick it up out of Keeneland. And also go to brisnet.com and get it. BRISNET.com. Thanks, Steve. Appreciate it.
All right, Ursula.
All righty. Let me see what I've got. One more commercial here to do. For my friends over at Spendthrift Farm, they're getting more stud horses over there than Mr. Combs used to have. Distorted Humor side is 17th Group 1 or Grade 1 Stakes winner last Sunday when Cursory Glance won the Morglare Stud Stakes, a Group 1 event for two-year-olds at the Curragh. One of the 17 is Jimmy Creed, and he's considered by many to be the fastest son of Distorted Humor. Jimmy Creed was a sprinter, sprinted 7 furlongs, 120-1 the day he won a Grade 1 Malibu, recorded 4 triple-digit buyer speed ratings during his career. He also won the Grade 2 Potero Grande Stakes, going 6.5 furlongs at 115 flat, placed in 3 more stakes, 2 of them Grade 1. Now, Distorted Humor has topped the sire list and is ranked among the top 10 7 times, and that's why it stands for stud fee of 100,000. Jimmy Creed's female family, just as impressive. His dam is hooked on the feeling. A Grade 1 stakes winner that has also produced a multiple Grade 1 stakes winner in Pussycat Doll. That's 2 Grade 1 stakes winners she's produced, plus the stakes winning filly Funny Feeling, who, like Jimmy Creed, is sired by Distorted Humor. The second dam also won stakes and is the grand dam of Grade 1 winner Midnight Lucky, winner of the Grade 1 Acorn. Superb individual. He was a $900,000 sales yearly. Jimmy Creed's pedigree offers an outcross to Seattle Slough APND Pulpit Line Mares. Booked full in his first season at stud this year, stands at Spendthrift Farm. Come see him at Spendthrift Open House today and tomorrow from 1 to 3. Inquiries to Des Dempsey, Brian Lyle, or Mark Toothacker, 859-294-0030, and see the website at SpendthriftFarm.com. Got me there.
I wanted to say something about Pucker Up because it was a mare that I remember. She was by Olympia at a Lou Lieba Bully, and she was bred by Dan Ada Farm. That's Dan and Ada Rice over at out the old Frankfurt Pike out there, part of the old the farm is part of the old Idlehour Farm, along with Colonel E.R. Bradley. And she was the top handicap mare of 1957. And she's a brilliant race mare. She ran 32 times, won 16 races, 8 times seconds and 4 times third. And at that time, she won $304,000, which was a lot of money. Back in the 50s, that's like winning $1 million now, or two maybe. I don't know the way inflation is gone. And she, I tell you, she ran against some really top flash mares. She ran against Double Dog Dare, Double J Philly, that belonged to Claiborne Farm, Myrtle's Jet. She was by Al Sab, out of a daughter of out of Crepe Myrtle. It was a daughter of Myrtle Wood, ran against a little filly named Little Patch. Princess Turier, who was a filly that raced for Calumet Farm. Amorette raced for Calumet. Queen Hopeful. Estacion, who was an imported mare. Miss Todd. Miss Todd was by Alibi. And I saw her break a world record going 5 furlongs at Hollywood Park back in 1950. That would have been in 1955. I think I saw her do that. She ran against the Colts also. In the Washington Park Handicap, she beat a couple of good ones. She beat Fine, son of Discovery, for Alpha Gwen Vanderbilt, and running third was Swoon Son. Now, that was a racehorse, yeah. Yeah, he should have been a champion three-year-old that year, but they were all in love with Needles, you know, because he was, the only time they met, he beat Needles before he could throw a rock.
He sure did.
But all these sports riders, you know, they wanted to give it to a Florida horse, I think, and he won the Derby, but he was no Swoon Son in my book. And a Plotter, another Double J mare she ran against. Born a Star, she ran against Born a Star out here at Keeneland. Jovial Jove, who raced for Wamazon Farm, good horse. Great Game, Fred Hooper's horse. She raced, she ran second to Born a Star in the Beverly Handicap. Her last start, she pulled up bad, and Alanesian beat her. She ran 14th in a field of 15 and never raced again like that. They put her in, they bred her to some pretty nice horses, and they bred her to Prince Quillo first, and she had a colt that never raced. Then she had a real spotty record. It didn't breed her the next year. Then she was barren, then her foal died. And then in 1964, she produced a bull rule of filly named Plucky Pan, who was a nice, she won the Newcastle Stakes and won the Delaware Handicap and the Colonial Handicap, placed in the Vagrancy Handicap. Set a new track record, going a mile in 1:33.2 up at Aqueduct. That'll win a race or two, mile in 1:33 and change. And she had a filly that, a colt I turned to that also placed in stakes. And now I want to remind you that next week we're on from 8 to 10. And that's because of the football game. 8 to 10 tomorrow. Then we go back to the regular schedule again. Winners out of the training center. Since last week's show, we're trained by Steve Casey, Jim Rankin, Scooter Hughes, Jimmy Cargan again, Adolfo Marcius, Tommy Short, another one for Scooter Hughes, Farm Manager of the Year. They're giving a dinner dance, as I said earlier, a dinner dance in his honor, the Kentucky Thoroughbred Farm Managers Club, and you don't have to dance with Scooter, but you can go. Greg Burchell and Paul McAtee. Paul had one last night. And don't forget that they're having the Secretariat Festival down in Bourbon County, and they're having that as we speak. So buzz on down to Paris, Kentucky, and take it in. It's free admission, and it's from 9 to 5 today, so price is right, and you'll have a lot of fun. A lot of nice people down there. Thanks for listening. Once again, 8 to 10 next week, and we'll talk to you next Saturday. Keep smiling.